Chapter 38. Ethan shot back, startled. "Oh God, I am so sorry," he stammered. "I never meant... Oh God, I love Elvira. I just wanted you to tell me what was wrong. The only thing in the world that matters to me is making her happy. If I've given you the wrong impression, I'm sorry." Nia felt sick. Her eyes were burning. She covered her face, wanting to disappear. "Take me away," she said to the universe. "Please make me be anywhere else but here." When she lowered her hands, Ethan had gone, and she flopped back on the bench and burst into tears. She was such a fool. Chris was right. Nia was sitting sobbing quietly on her own when Jade found her.
"Whatever's the matter?"
"I'm such an idiot. God, I'm a 40-year-old woman acting like a teenager."
"Hey, calm down. Tell me what happened."
Slowly gulping back tears, Nia told her the whole story.
"There are two things to sort out here," said Jade. "One is Elvira and the other is Ethan."
"Tell me, do you really like him? I know I was teasing you about it, but is this serious?"
Nia sighed.
"I don't know. It was so nice to have someone take an interest in me. I love our walks, and tonight it was wonderful feeling happy, feeling pretty." She covered her face. "I'm pathetic, I'm sorry."
Jade gently lowered her hands. "There's nothing pathetic about wanting to be happy, to feel loved. We all do. Has something happened with Chris?"
Nia told Jade about the phone calls with Safi and Chris.
"He's back with her."
"I'm not sure it was ever off, to be honest. I can see it now. It's like you said. He lies all the time. I told him the things we talked about. The more we spoke, the more I knew you were right. He twists and changes everything I say. He always tries to make everything my fault."
"What did he say about the video?"
"Oh, that it was nothing."
"Oh, no."
"Exactly. And now Safi is upset. She feels her father has been lying to her."
"Which he has."
"Yes, I know. But what am I meant to do? I can't turn her against him. He's her dad."
"And she's an adult. You have to be straight with her. So, what about you?"
"He asked me if I wanted a divorce, and I said yes."
Jade sat open-mouthed.
"Good God, that's amazing. No wonder you're in bits. You think I made a mistake?"
"I don't, but do you?"
Nia was calm now. "No, I don't think so. But I don't know how I'm meant to live now. Chris said I'd be lost without him, and he's right. Look at the way I flung myself at Ethan."
"Chris has been controlling the way you live for years. No wonder you feel lost. But you can do this, Nia. You're stronger than you think. I've seen the way you've been battling for Ruby. You need to fight for yourself now."
"But how do I face Ethan? I'm so embarrassed."
Jade flapped her hand. "As soon as the next emergency comes into the vet, it will all be behind him. He's not going to lose sleep over this."
Nia smiled. "I hope you're right.
So, tell me again about Elvira."
Nia went through the story again.
"So she threatened you. That's not good, is it?"
"No, I don't know what to make of her."
"And she was saved by Ethan. I wonder what's going on with her ex Hugo then. By the way, he's turned up here."
"You're joking.
Hugo is here. Why?"
"Apparently Joe knows him through sailing. They all know each other. Ian as well. He sails, but as he said to me, seriously, mark you, I'm between yachts at the moment."
Nia smiled.
"It's another world, isn't it?"
"Quite. Living in Yarmouth, I should be used to it, but it's not me. I feel sick, just walking on one of those pontoon things at the edge of the harbour."
"So this ex has turned up then. That's awkward for Elvira, isn't it?"
"They seem to be successfully avoiding each other. He's over there now talking to Richie and Ian." But Richie doesn't sail. No, but he and Ruby used to be friendly with Hugo when he was with Elvira. Of course, Ruby said something about that. Ruby didn't like him, did she? No, couldn't stand him. Right, look, I don't know about you, but I've pretty much had enough of this party. Fancy taking off soon? I can't think of anything I'd like more. Great, I have to go and see a few people, then we can go. Catch you in a minute. Jade left her and went over to a group of friends. Nia saw that Elvira was now talking to Hugo. They were well apart from the rest of the group, and Elvira didn't look happy.
What are you doing sitting here all on your own?
Richie had come over to sit next to Nia. I don't know that many people here. Still, it was kind of Joe to invite me.
He has a lot of friends here, hasn't he? He spends a lot of time with the yachty lads.
Nia caught an edge to his voice and looked at him. He gave her a knowing smile, and in that moment she was sure he knew. Glancing around, she wondered how many other people knew.
I was surprised to see Elvira's ex Hugo turn up. I don't think it's fair on Ethan, said Richie.
I think Hugo knows Joe through sailing, doesn't he?
Hugo knows everyone, and everything about them.
Again, there was the knowing look.
Have people been telling you about Hugo, then?
Friends of Elvira's were telling me about him at the hen party. One of them showed me a photograph of him. They all seem very keen on him.
He has a lot of charm. He's very popular.
But Ruby didn't like him?
Richie grinned. No, she did not approve of him at all. She was probably right. He may have charm, but he's a crook. He'll make money any way he can. Selling dodgy stuff, fraud, even drugs at times, if you believe the rumours.
But he seems to get away with it.
Ruby was one of the few people not taken in by him. She was very upset when Elvira became engaged to him. She kept telling Elvira that he was using her, that he was no good. But Elvira was completely besotted with him. They came to our wedding. That's when I first met him, but Ruby told me to have nothing to do with him.
Who broke off the engagement?
They both claimed to have done that.
Was Elvira very upset?
Yes, I think she came over here to get away from him.
Do you think there's any chance that she still loves him?
Why do you ask me that?
Nia took a deep breath. Because last Sunday, I followed Elvira and I saw the two of them meeting up over in Ryde.
Richie's eyebrows shot up. You followed her? Why?
Richie's eyebrows shot up.
You followed her? Why?
Because I knew she only spends an hour at the nursing home each week, and yet she returns to the close very late.
Richie screwed up his eyes. You're checking up on everyone, aren't you?
Well, for Jade's sake, I'm trying to, but you don't make it easy. You and Ian seem to have a new story every time I talk to you.
She kept the tone light, but held her breath, waiting for the reply.
Richie moved so he was closer to her. He lowered his voice.
I know it's not important, but the truth is I was at the bungalow the night Ruby died. Ian was frantic for me to cover for him, so I agreed. He paid well.
He cringed, as if in apology. You mean you weren't together at all that night? Said Nia.
Nope. He shook his head. Look, it doesn't matter, does it? Ian is hardly the kind of person to be off killing anyone.
Why would he give you money if he wasn't guilty?
Because, as is always the case with Ian, he was worried about his reputation. He has a very inflated ego, thinks the world really cares what he is doing, and he is desperate for this TV job.
Yes, I can see that.
He simply wanted an easy explanation of where he was. I wasn't going to argue. It saved me having to go public about the bungalow. Not an easy time to have shared that one with the world.
Nia screwed her eyes up. And of course, it gave you an alibi as well.
It did, but I'm not worried about that. If I need it, I'm sure someone in the street saw my car. I was there from the moment we left White's. In fact, just before I left the bungalow about midnight, I took a picture of one of my paintings and sent it to a friend to see what they thought.
He turned to her.
Far more interesting, though, is this business with Elvira and Hugo. Did they look intimate?
I wouldn't say that, but it was strange that they should be meeting up. I saw her give him a parcel. Well, a small package.
What do you think was in it?
I wondered about money. I know she pawned her engagement ring. She's pretending to have an expensive wedding dress made, but I know it was bought in a charity shop.
Goodness, you have been digging around.
I have, but I'm not sure how far I've got. Nia paused, then asked, So, how is your painting going?
Pretty well, thank you. I'm pleased with the work I'm doing over there.
Suddenly, Richie looked up.
Where is Hugo off to now? That man is always wheeling and dealing.
He's going over to speak to Ethan, by the looks of it. I can't see that being anything to do with making him money, said Nia, laughing.
You never know with people like Ethan. What is it they say? Still waters run deep? I do wonder sometimes what goes on in his head. Ruby was worried about him, I know that. I saw her having a few deep discussions with him, but I don't know what they were about. I thought at first she was warning him off marrying Elvira, but I don't know. All she told me was that she was worried about him.
Richie stood up.
I guess I ought to mingle. Good to speak to you, Nia, and I hope you know that, although I do believe Ruby took her own life, if there was any question of anyone else being involved, then I would want the truth to come out. I appreciate what you're doing.
Richie left her and Nia wandered about the perimeter of the garden. The bottom led to open fields, and she could make out the silhouettes of horses in the fields. She walked down and only then noticed a river the other side of the low fence. As she stood admiring the view, she realised she was not alone. She heard sobbing, walked towards a thick-barked old oak tree, and behind it she found Joe. On seeing her, he wiped his face, forcing a smile.
Oh, hi, enjoying the party?
It's great, but you're clearly not. What's wrong? He turned away.
Nothing, you couldn't possibly understand.
She walked towards him. Listen, I might understand more than you realise. He turned and gave her a penetrating stare. I was talking to Jade, she continued. I guessed. It's okay, I'm not going to tell anyone. He screwed up his eyes.
What do you know?
I know you're gay. The growing apprehension in his eyes turned to terror. He stepped back like a trapped animal looking for a way to escape. It's okay, she said tenderly. I'm not going to say anything.
No one can know. It's my parents.
Why are you scared of telling them? They obviously love you so much. They'll understand.
You heard the speech my dad gave. All they want is for me to get married and have children.
You can still do all those things. You need to talk to them.
Not yet, I can't.
Joe grabbed her arm with such force it hurt.
And please don't you say anything. You can't.
The words came out hard, like bullets. Nia pulled away. Of course I won't, but I should warn you that I've a feeling word is getting around. I was talking to Richie just now, and I'm sure he was hinting he knew. Look, it's nothing to be ashamed of. You should be proud of who you are.
Out and proud, is it? That's easy for you to say.
I know, and I'm sorry. I don't want this all to go horribly wrong for you. Joe glared at her.
If that's some kind of threat, then think again. I'm no pushover. I won't let you get away with this.
Joe! She shouted after him as he stormed off. Nia looked up the garden and was relieved to see Jade had made it as far as the house and went to join her. Some of the others are planning to go over to Compton later. I don't fancy it, but I'll hang about and go if you want to. Nia shook her head.
No thanks, I've had enough.
Great, let's make a move then. Nia was pleased to get home and took Romeo out along the pier. The darkness soothed her. She was still cringing with embarrassment about Ethan, but it was slowly being replaced by other thoughts from the evening. That threat from Elvira, and that very odd conversation between Ethan and Elvira's ex. What on earth had that been about? She had learned so much, and yet was she any closer to knowing the truth? The ring and the letter were still missing. She still had no idea who had made the voodoo doll. She felt the weight of the evening sitting heavily on her, The humiliation with Ethan had not completely left her. She'd had a feeling of elation, almost, after deciding on the divorce, but now the gloss had worn off. She wondered if she was going to be able to cope on her own. Maybe Chris was right. She was a fool who was lost without him. If she was bright and capable, why had she let him treat her badly for so long? He'd told her the people in the close pitied her. They didn't like her. The letter she'd received proved that. Who wanted her to disappear? Someone had made Ruby disappear, hadn't they? Would they do the same to her? Later, as Nia lay unable to sleep, in a room very close to hers, a person was sitting in a dark room, and with a cold, steady hand, they lit a black candle. On a piece of paper, they wrote a name, Nia, and pinned it onto a voodoo doll. They had worked hard creating this, every bit of wood carefully selected, the blue silk cut and wrapped around its body. The face had taken the longest, skillful carving of the features. It was frightening how much it looked like her. The eyes were sneaky, watching, waiting for them to put a foot wrong, and the mouth was open, spitting out nasty accusations. Picking up the voodoo doll, they said the words loud and firm. The pain you gave me will come back to you 1,000 times worse. You are cursed. They didn't need to imagine or manufacture hate. It was there, waiting to be used. They smiled at their creation. It was perfect. Each of the black pins was pushed in purposefully, and then the best bit of all. They took the hair they'd collected from Nia's brush and rubbed it so that it resembled string, and then slowly they wound it round the neck of the voodoo doll, tighter and tighter. Finally they stopped, lifted the voodoo doll and placed it in a small black coffin, the one they'd used for Ruby. They put on the lid, blew out the candle, and went to the window. At that moment they knew someone out there was dying. They knew because they had caused it. No voodoo dolls or curses for that victim. That was different. No hate, no feelings at all. It was a job that unfortunately had to be done. What a dark world it had become.